This is Patrick Wanna, celebrity life coach, human behavior and relationship expert, and clinical hypnotherapist, PhD. So, when I say the word passion, what comes to your mind? For most people, passion tends to create the thought or emotion of some link to a physical experience, something maybe hot and heavy in the bedroom. But what is passion? Well, Chris and Janet Atwood are the authors of the New York Times bestseller, The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. They've also helped thousands of people around the world to find their passion. So let's find out what is passion. So a big hello to Chris and Janet.
Hi, Patrick. So great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, I'm excited to hear your message. So before I tell people a lot more about you, because there is a lot to be said about both Janet and Chris, and it's good, I want to ask the first question. What is passion?
It's a great question. We love that question. Thank you, Patrick. And as you said, most people tend to associate the word passion with some feeling that they have. And we would differentiate a little bit. And we would say that feeling that you have is the feeling of being passionate. And so what is it that makes you or causes you to feel passionate about something? And that's what we refer to as your passion. So your passions, from our perspective, are the things that you love most, the things that you care most deeply about, the things that matter most to you in your life. When your life is connected to those things, then you have that emotional feeling that you were talking
about. When you're connected to the things that really matter to you. Now, it's interesting you say that, Chris, because often when I meet people, I like to ask the question at some point in the conversation, particularly a woman, what is your passion? And the reason I say that is because the first thought that, you know, women will come up with is, are you asking me a sexual question? Then when I say, no, I'm not talking about sex at all, then they become even more confused, men and women, because they're not sure or have almost no idea of what is their passion. So I want to talk a little bit with Janet for a moment, because Janet discovered her passion, and it wasn't what she was doing at the time or what she trained for. So can you tell me your story, Janet?
I'd love to tell that story. So probably as most people listening have had also this experience, Patrick, that I was once in a job I hated, I couldn't stand, I was failing it miserably. I was actually recruiting disk drive engineers in Silicon Valley. And before that job, I was doing something I really loved. I was teaching meditation in Palo Alto, California. It was a blast. But the downside was I was living on the meditation center floor, and I was jumping over a fence every day into these apartment buildings to the pool shower, because there wasn't a shower or a bathtub in the meditation center. I was actually living in the office. And my friends that came to my lectures heard about the fact that I was running across the street every day and jumping over this fence to take my shower. They were making millions of dollars recruiting disk drive engineers in Silicon Valley, and they called me up and they said, Janet, we got this great job. And you'd be great. You'd love it. And you'll make millions of dollars.
and that got you excited.
All I could hear was millions of dollars, because I thought, oh, my God, I could have a bathtub. You know, how cool would that be? And so I absolutely said, yes, I'm in. And when I came on, they knew me well, because they came to my lectures and they thought, she is going to burn it up. And I thought, I am going to burn it up, because they said, you know, you're so enthusiastic. These disk drive engineers are going to love you. And they had this bell at the front of the office where they would run every day, every time they got a job for an engineer. And they would ring this bell, and this bell was ringing for a whole month, for everyone, absolutely everyone in the office but me. And I was mortified, and I was like, what is the problem? And what I didn't realize, number one, was that I could care less about disk drive engineers. I was so not interested in recruiting technical engineers, because it's a very technical job, and I am very not a technical person. So that was number one, disconnect from my side. And the other thing was, you know, so there I was with no passion. Number two, I went for the money, right? And
Can I interrupt there? Is there something wrong with going for the money?
Well, let's put it this way. For me, there was. I mean, you know, if you have a passion for making money, you're like a Donald Trump, then go for it 100%. No. And if it's in alignment with your other passions that you're in, you know, that you're into, that, yo, you're going to make a lot of money, but you're also doing what you love. But if you're just doing it for the money, that's not going to bring you happiness. And we've all heard about people who have jumped out of windows that had billions of dollars, you know, millions of dollars. And why? Because the deepest aspects of what they cared about in their life, you know, what really had great meaning for them was not fulfilled, and they were going for something on the outer that they thought would bring them, you know, inner fulfillment. So it just wasn't there. And that was also my experience, was that I wasn't feeling very inner fulfilled, because I wasn't at all interested in what I was into, and there I was going for the money. You know, some people can get away with it, but what they find is that they have a bunch of money and they don't have any happiness. So what's the point, right? So, yeah, I mean, you know, I can sidebar on that one for about an hour, but let me get back to the story and then we'll go with some more questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
So here I was, the bell's ringing, the bell's not ringing for me, and I am thinking this so is not okay. And every night after work, I would go and meditate in the local meditation center. And one night I looked on the wall when I came out of meditation. They had this poster board up there that said, Yes to Success Seminar. And it was a seminar in San Francisco. So I called into work. It was the next day. So I called into work sick. I said, I can't come to work. I'm so ill. And I lied. I know no one listening has ever lied. And to not go to work but me. But anyway, so I go to this seminar. I walk in, sit down in the front row. This woman comes on. She is on fire, excited, passionate, looks good, feels good, and she is good. And everything she's talking about, I am thinking, oh, my God. You know, she's talking about being in your integrity and doing the things you love and really living the life of your dreams. And she is so speaking my language, and I'm about 6 feet off my chair in the first 5 minutes. And I have this huge aha. While she's talking, I realized, oh, my God, it was like a brick wall hit me. I thought, I'm supposed to be what she's doing. I am supposed to do what she's doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And her name is Deborah Poneman, by the way, who was running this seminar called Yes to Success. And then the next aha was just a few minutes later. She started talking about a survey that had been given on the 100 most successful people in the United States. And what that survey had found was that all of these 100 most successful people were all living what they considered to be their top five passion. And that was the second huge, like, bam! And I was like, oh, my God, that's it. That's it. If I could figure out what my top five passions were, then I'd be just like these other 100 most successful people in the United States. And in that moment was the birth of the passion test. Now, I'm sitting there I'm sitting there. She's talking about, you know, she goes on and talks about dressing for success and sitting for ideas. And I'm sitting there thinking, what are my top five? What are my top five? and then after I start to, you know, like start to get a little plan going in my brain, I come back in my mind to the seminar. I sit there and I start realizing that this woman has to be my mentor, because I want to do what she's doing. And somehow I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. And then I come up with this plan. Okay, I'm just going to tell her. I'm going to tell her I have to work for her, or I have to, you know, just be with her somehow. I'll put her paper clips on her, you know, with her paper together, just something. And I'm waiting for that special moment to come where I can ask her, and it's not coming, and it's not coming. And finally, at the end of the seminar, she goes, could someone take me to the airport? And when she says that, my arm about flies out of my socket, and she looks at me, and she goes, okay. And I said, and so I took her to the airport, and as we're driving, I am like waiting for that moment. The moment's not coming. Finally, we get to the airport, and finally, that moment came, and she turns to me and she says, well, so what is it that your dream is? And I looked at her, and I was so excited. I said, I'm so glad you asked me, because if you don't hire me, you better move over, because I'm going to be your next competition. And I couldn't, Patrick, I couldn't believe I said that. It just blurted out of my mouth. And she looked at me, and right when she looked at me, they called her plane. And she looks at me again, smiles, gives me a hug, and walks off. And I am like, oh, my God, I didn't do that. Anyway, I'm driving back to the meditation center that night, and I think it's okay. Somehow it's going to be okay. It's okay. And I wasn't thwarted because I knew that I had a plan. I knew I was going to work with her. I knew it. And I thought, okay, how am I going to do that? And I thought, I'm going to go on her national tour. She's going on her national tour. She's going to Boston and Washington and Iowa and L.A. And I don't know how, but somehow I'm going to get the money to go, and I'm going to follow her all over the United States. And somehow I'm going to sit down in the front row of her seminar, and somehow she's going to have to hire me. Somehow. That's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen since I'm minus money, but it's going to happen. Anyway, I get to the meditation center. I see a friend. We start talking. I tell her my dream. We say goodnight. I go to work. I come back the next night after work to meditate. I'm sitting down. And all of a sudden, as I'm meditating, I feel paper falling on my head. And I look up, and there is the friend that I had told my dream to the night before that I had met in the meditation center. And she is dropping $100 bills all over my head. And she looks at me and she says, Merry Christmas, Janet. Go live your dream. And so what do you think, Patrick? What do you think I did with that money?
Well, that's a good question. Did you take it or did you say, no, I can't take it?
No, I so took it and I bought the tickets and I flew to Boston and I didn't tell the seminar leader, Deborah Poneman, and I walked in and I sat down in the front row. She walks in, she looks out and she sees me and she goes, I remember you, San Francisco. I said, yeah, you know, and I don't say a word. She flies away. She goes to Washington, D.C. to her next seminar. I go to Washington, D.C. I sit down in the front row. She walks in this time and all of a sudden she looks at me and sitting in the front row again. She's like, what are you doing? You know, like stalker. You know, and then I don't say anything. I go to Iowa. She goes to Iowa. You know, this time she walks in and she's like, what are you doing? You know, and she's starting to like get a little nervous. Finally, we're in L.A. I fly to L.A. She flies to L.A. She walks in. This time she looks at me and all of a sudden she just takes her arms, throws them up and says really loudly, all right, already, you're hired. And that's how it all started.
Yeah.
I tried to make it short, but it's an important story. And I know because you teach this as well. You teach transformation, and you teach people and facilitate how to align with their passion. And I spend this time with people, and I love to tell this story because the one of the most important quotes in the passion test is, when you are clear, what you choose to have show up in your life will, and only to the extent that you're clear. And I was clear. I was so clear about what my passion was to be a transformational leader uplifting humanity all over the world. Nothing would stop me. And that is absolutely how I went for it. And the other thing that we tell people in the passion test is, you're not responsible for the how, you're only responsible for the what. The how being, how the heck am I going to get the money, or how to fly all over the United States, and how the heck am I going to get her to hire me, and how. And most of us, you know, we play it safe. We stay in our J-O-B, our just over broke, in safety and security, because we, you know, are afraid, you know, that, you know, if we go for our big dream and we don't figure out the how beforehand, well, you know, it's not going to happen, so we don't do it. You know, we just, like, don't do it. And we stay with all the things that keep us safe. But here's what I want everyone to hear. You're not responsible for the how. You're only responsible for the what being what do you love, what lights your fire, what turns you on.
All
and
right.
My
and
other – go ahead.
I was going to say there's a couple of important points here, too, because I like to teach – the how is not as important as the why. So, you know, why do you want something? So if you establish it's your passion, you're saying to me then that everything else will come in, will fall into place.
It's a really good point, Patrick. And just to clarify what Janet and I say in this regard, you know, when you say the why is your vision. The why is what is it that I really choose to create in my life? It's another way of getting the clarity. And the whole passion test process, you know, identifying your top five passions is the first step. But the whole process is aimed to build up to create that vision of why is it that you choose to create what you choose to create. The identifying your passions creates the clarity, the first step of creating what you choose to have in your life. And what we're not saying is that then you can just sit on a couch and not do anything and somehow magically the thing will come to you. You know, one of the reasons we love Janet's story is because it wasn't that she did nothing. She actually created a plan. She created a very specific plan. She was very committed to that plan, and then she didn't know how she was going to implement that plan. She didn't know how she was going to make that plan real. So the key pieces that we talk about are intention, clearly stating what it is you choose to create in your life, then attention. We say what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. So attention includes action. We say action engages attention. So it means taking action, doing whatever you can think to do to bring fulfillment to that that intention. And then the third piece is no tension, letting go. Just, and you may recall in Janet's story, she had the plan, and then she let go of it. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She went to the meditation center, she meditated, and that no tension piece is the piece that most people miss completely. We do all we can think to do and then let go.
Now, this is a very critical point because a lot of people don't understand this, and I know there are other teachers who teach this. Abraham Hicks teaches something very similar, and I think they use the expression letting go. What does that really mean in real terms? What does it mean to say, okay, you've set your goal, you know what you want, you're clear about it, you're taking as much action as possible, but ironically or paradoxically, we're also saying to you, now let go. What does that really mean?
It means you go roller skating, or you go surfing, or you you sit down and meditate, or you go dancing, you put on a record, you know, you go singing, you get with your friends, you have fun, you do another project. It means you completely step out of it, and you surrender. You just completely, what I like to say is you stop stepping on your own hose.
Okay, or you stop pulling out the plant to make sure that it's growing. But maybe the other way to look at this, from my perspective as a human behavior expert, is to say, are we really telling people, stop putting fear onto your intention, stop putting fear on your goal? Because when you say surrender, when you say let go, when you say go out and play and have fun, do as much work as you can to make this goal happen, but then relax, go and enjoy yourself, what you're saying then is stop acting out of fear, thinking that it's not going to happen. Believe that it will happen. You've taken the action to make it happen. Now stop acting from a place of desperation, because people pick up on that.
You're absolutely right, Patrick. And there's another aspect to this no tension piece, and it was embedded in Janet's story, and that's what I hear you speaking to, and that is to do the action from that state of peace and calm inside that all of us have. All of us have access to that. When we're embedded in fear, When we're thinking about what all the things that go wrong, that takes us out of that state of calm. It's when we are acting from that peaceful place inside that our actions have the greatest power. And that's why, you know, whatever one's practice, whether it's meditation or prayer or in some way connecting to that deepest part of your own nature, that helps you to connect with that place that then allows your actions to have the greatest power to be able to is to stay open. You know, the reason for going and playing music or doing something else, whatever it might be, this concept of surrender, the reason is to stay open, because when you follow your passions, guaranteed it won't show up the way you think it will. It's going to in our experience, it almost never does. We're constantly surprised at how the fulfillment of our passions is occurring in ways we never could have dreamed of. So if we're stuck on the way we think, if you're stuck on the way you think that it needs to be fulfilled, then in the process, you close yourself off to the opportunities that are showing up that may be unexpected.
Yeah, and in practical terms, I like to explain it this way. If I'm, you know, you've used the phrase no tension, so then let's assume that I'm in a state of tension, then I have a sense of desperation, a sense of fear, a sense of this is not going to happen, so I've got to try harder, I've got to push harder. And when I'm making phone calls, when I'm meeting people, when I'm making presentations, when I'm applying, when I'm auditioning, when I'm being interviewed, I'm giving off the energy that I'm desperate. I'm giving off the energy that I'm afraid. I'm giving off the energy that this is not going to work. And the people around me sense that energy. And I think we all know this, that when we meet someone who has that fear, we feel uncomfortable and we don't want to be near them. So we're not going to be invited to work with them. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, how does it feel? I mean, you know how it feels when you're around that person. Either that or you've been there so many times that you understand what that person's going through and you have complete compassion for them. Your arm around them and you say, it's okay, I understand. Now, let's take a breath and step back.
I wanted to add something too, Janet. When you talked about, you know, I asked the tough question, now, wait a minute, is there something wrong with going for money? And obviously there isn't if that's your real passion, because there are some people who like the challenge of making money. But that wasn't the case for you. But nonetheless, you found your passion, you followed your passion, the money followed you. The money came to you, the success came to you. The success not just in terms of material things, obviously, but in terms of what fulfills you. And at this point is where I want to say that you and Chris have obviously helped thousands and thousands of people around the world to find their passion. You've developed this passion test, which we're going to talk about in a bit more detail shortly. But you've also worked with and shared the stage with the Dalai Lama, with Sir Richard Branson, with Jack Canfield, with Lisa Nichols, and many other transformational leaders. And in fact, you and Chris helped put together most of the teachers in the movie The Secret. So, Chris, can you explain how that happened?
Sure. I'd love to. I mean, it's a great example of the unexpected. Janet and I, years ago, were approached by some friends, Liz and Rick Thompson, to create an online magazine called Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Our intent was to bring some of the greatest transformational knowledge available to people online, and it was really aligned with the things Janet and I love to do. We love to connect people and connect with people. And so over a number of years, we had the good fortune to interview some of the most successful people in the world about their passions and how they discovered them and the obstacles they faced along the way. So a couple of years after that, we got an email from one of our subscribers. She had actually enrolled in a program we created about creating alliances. How do you create enlightened alliances? And she told us about her passion, that she was creating a movie that she said was going to transform the world. And she sent us a short trailer about that movie, and it completely blew us away. It was so powerful. She had already gotten she was Australian. She'd already gotten the Nine Network in Australia to agree to broadcast it. And she had a wonderful story as she told about how she unfolded her passion. And it so inspired Janet and me that we said, you know, we want to help you. And she was asking if we would help to connect her with some of these successful people.
Yeah, we thought we were going to help this sweet mother.
And, of course, the woman we're talking about is Rhonda Byrne, who then went on to create the movie The Secret, and then which became a book, The Secret, which then, you know, helped impact a lot of people's lives to gain clarity about what they want and to follow the processes of manifesting and bringing into life what you want. I know that, you know, one of the key points too is that maybe it wasn't really highlighted in the movie, but you have to take action to make anything happen.
That's the second step to the formula that Chris was just sharing: intention, attention, no tension. You know, the intention, clarify what your passions are, get clear. Attention, you're powerful. You know, what are you putting your attention on, right? And then once you put your attention on something, your passion, then you strike like lightning in all directions. You take action. You do every single thing you know to do. And then, of course, the last part is that letting go part.
Now, there are two key steps to taking action that you talk about, and I'd like maybe Chris or Janet to answer this: burning your bridges. What do you mean by that, and how did that work in your story?
Well, okay, so in my story, what I didn't tell just a minute ago, because I didn't want to tell the whole story and then the interview be over, was that when I had decided that I was going to fly all over the United States to stop Deborah Poneman, to work with her, one of the things that Deborah had said in her seminar was that you needed to burn all your bridges, you know, get rid of things that are in your life that are in the way of you being able to live your passions. And so what was looming in my mind was my job, because I so wasn't into it, and you know every day I was sitting there wasting all my time. So I went in and I burned that bridge real fast. I, you know, before I got on a plane, I walked into work and I told the owner, I said, "Hey Ted, I said, you know, I'm not doing it. I know I'm not doing it. So today I'm going to give my 2-week notice." And Patrick, at the time, I was thinking, okay, let's see. I'm on commission. I'll get a check that'll see me through until I fly, you know, until I figure out what I'm going to do. And you know, and Ted looks at me and goes, "Well, Janet, you know, what we found is that when someone gives their 2 weeks' notice, they're not really present in the office, right? It's like they're already gone. So we're going to give you your going away cake today." And so that was how I burned my bridges. You know, another thing Deborah said, that if you want something in your life, then if you have, you know, a lot of it that you're not using, get rid of it, you know, if you want something new. So one day I was telling this story in a seminar with about 12 people, and I showed them a picture. I said, "Look at, I even made a vision board. I've got this beautiful coat that I want." And then someone in my audience said, "Well, don't you already have a long, a floor-length Red Fox coat with a hood?" And it was an $8,000 coat. And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, but that one's kind of old, isn't it? It was a few years old." I said, "Well, yeah." And they said, "Well, so you should give it away, right?" I said, "Yeah." So, you know, I realized right then I was stuck in that moment of, okay, am I going to be in my integrity or not? So I went and got my coat and gave it away to that person who asked me that question, and that was the bridges I burned on that one too. You know, and I'll tell you something, Patrick, we don't tell everybody that, you know, we tell everyone, take baby steps. This is a Janet Atwood kind of mode of functioning. It's just in my nature. I like to jump off cliffs and then look to see how far I'm going. But we tell people, you know, just take little baby steps every single day in the direction of your passions. And what happens when you do that is that you start to see that what you love in God's will, in other words, nature, the unified field, whatever name you want to put to that energy is greater than yourself, you start to align with, right? We say what you love and God's will for you is one and the same. And when you start to align with your passions, what happens, and put your attention on them and use the passion test formula, is that you start to notice that you become what we call a passionate magnet, and the people and the places and the things start to show up. And why we say take baby steps is because then you start to gain trust, right? And so you don't scare the heck out of yourself. As you said, you know, a lot of people have a lot of fear and about going for what they want. Well, they do, because sometimes they bite off more than they can chew. And then they don't chew it at all, right, because they get so absorbed in the fear mode. So we say take baby steps, and then along the way what you start to do is you start to grow in courage, and with that courage comes power of conviction. And with that power of conviction, you become immovable. And then afterwards, you know, you can start taking on, you know, everything all at once, because you know that where you gain the most supportive nature is when you align with those things that have greatest meaning to you, because that is what you're supposed to be doing.
But Jenna, when you're talking about burning your bridges, you're also talking about letting go of the comfort zone, and you're also talking about getting rid of that thing, whatever that thing is, that's stopping you from doing something new and taking new action. So for you, the job was your comfort zone, because you said, "Hey, it's giving me the money. I'm going to give 2 weeks' notice." So that was your comfort zone. Oh, I'm going to have enough money to then take some new action. But even with the job itself was a comfort zone, if you stayed in that job, you would have never taken the action to follow Deborah around the country. So that job was a comfort zone, but it was also the thing that stopped you from trying something new, correct?
Well, yeah, in that sense, yeah, I would say it was. Yeah, I didn't really look at it that way at the time, but I can look back and see You know, I was only in the job a month, so I don't know if that was very much comfort. I don't know, you know.
But if you had let go, when you didn't have the job, if you were suddenly jobless, you wouldn't be having the same level of comfort, even if that wasn't a comfort. It wasn't a prison for you in the sense of a comfort zone that's a prison. But if you stayed in that job, how could you follow Deborah around the country?
Yeah. So it's a great point that you make, Patrick. And there are times when that taking the next step absolutely requires stepping out of your comfort zone. It always requires it to one extent or another. And what Janet was talking about just a moment ago is to what extent, in each moment, each of us has to make a choice. And the extent we step out of our comfort zone needs to be tied to the level of fear, as you were talking about before, the level of fear that step will take. If taking a step is going to create such unbelievable fear for us that's what we're creating, that's what we're emanating, just as you were talking about earlier, then we're not going to attract the things that are needed, they're necessary to bring into our life to fulfill our passion.
Yeah, and so what you know, in following that, if not having a job brought up so much fear, then there is no way that I could follow Deborah, you know, all over the place and have the inner strength that I needed to have in order for her to see the value of what I brought to the table. So I knew ahead of time, you know, I that was my comfort zone, actually. It wasn't so much out of my comfort zone.
If I can make one other comment on this, Patrick, because it's a really important point. We talk about it in the passion test because it is so important as you're following your passions. What we've seen is that in general, there are two kinds of people. And some people, the way that they best respond to new opportunities is by, as Janet did, jumping off a cliff and looking for the parachute when they're halfway down. And there are other people that if they took that same action, it would so paralyze them that they would be unable to do anything. And so one of the things that we teach in the Passion Test and in our programs is something we call nature's guidance system, of being able to pay attention to the internal guidance that we're always getting. And for many people, what we've seen is that the key here, the key and most important principle is what we call the secret that guarantees a passionate life. And that secret is that whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. The second piece of that is then just recognizing that for you, it may be appropriate to take smaller steps, take incremental steps in favor of your passion. So as Janet said, you build up that confidence, that trust, which in turn brings the courage to take the next major step in living your passions. And then there are others, like Janet and others that we've met, who the best thing that they can do is simply clear the decks and then take that giant step forward to step out into the unknown. And it really comes down to paying attention to your own nature and what will allow you to move forward, what will allow you to take the step without being paralyzed. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and you talk there about the courage or even the strength to take those steps. And so I want to spend a moment talking about the power of emotion and how that can get in the way of you actually taking the steps. And what I mean by that is I was recently watching Larry King Live, who was when he was interviewing the winners and the runners-up to NBC's TV show The Biggest Loser. So these were people that had lost massive amounts of weight, but who'd started off, you know, with massive amounts of weight. And he asked them questions like, you know, how did you become so big? What happened? And unfortunately, Larry missed out on what these people were really saying. One after another, each runner-up, each winner, and each contestant that was on Larry King's TV set said the following, along the lines of, I never put myself first. I was always busy taking care of other people. I never thought about myself. I worried so much about other people. They were all saying the same thing, that they weren't thinking enough about themselves. They were either living for other people or not putting themselves first. And here, of course, I'm talking about balance, not being greedy or selfish, but moving beyond things such as guilt or the belief that you have to live for someone else, or you have to live what someone else wants you to do or live for them. You know, the concept of the parent that says to his or her child, oh, I never had a chance to be a doctor, so you have to be a doctor. And this is what happened with one of my clients. She was 28 years of age, desperately, desperately, deeply depressed because she doesn't want to become a doctor, but her parents wanted her to become a doctor because they came from really horrible background. They came to this country as immigrants, and they said to her, we want you to do what we never had the chance to do. So this girl was in deep depression for years and extremely unhappy, extremely ill, because she couldn't live her passion because she was living for her parents. How do you help these people, Janet and Chris?
Well, we have this incredible process that we use in our programs that is a surefire thing. And I'll tell you, it's a surefire thing because, and by the way, everything that Chris and I share are processes and tools that we've used in our own lives. We never, ever thought before, you know, when we first started that we were going to be traveling all over the world or that we were going to have over 500 facilitators and, you know, 8 different programs. That wasn't the point. What we were both trying to do with all of these different tools that we now share was get ourselves out of the hole that we were in. And one of those tools is called the work of Byron Katie. And it's this process that of self-inquiry that enables an individual to, just by asking 4 questions, what Katie says, 4 questions in a turnaround, one is able to be able to go from a place where you have these limiting beliefs and realizing that it was just the mind that was that had the limiting belief, that in reality, right, that in reality what is, that Katie says that God is good, God is everything, and there are no mistakes in the universe. God is good, God is everything, and there are no mistakes in the universe. And so, you know, what are limiting beliefs? Thinking that we did something wrong, or thinking we should do something better, or thinking that we should have something this, that, or the other thing, and or I'm not enough. And so this process, what it does is it works with what we call the terrorism of the mind. You know, having limiting beliefs creates terrorism. And these four questions are simply this. Is it true? Can you really know that it's true? How do you feel when you attach to that thought? Turn that thought around. And just by asking these 4 simple questions, one can go from a place of complete terrorism back to that state of peace and understanding. And I'll tell you, it's an incredible process, and Chris and I use it in our own lives. For those listening, we used to be married. We haven't been married for over 15 years, and we're best friends, business partners. He's remarried. His wife is one of my best friends. They have a 2-year-old daughter named Sophie, and I'm the godmother of their baby. And this came about because we use this process in our own lives to get rid of any concepts that we had about how things should be, and instead met them with understanding by using this beautiful tool.
You know,
what that also means is you had to break, I'm sorry, Chris, but I just want to say that means you had to break the old limiting belief that we must be together forever no matter what.
Yeah, we had to break that limiting belief. I mean, that was really a hard one because both of us were, you know, committed to the thought that you needed to stay committed forever. And so, yeah, we had to do that one. And then Doris, his wife, had to, you know, all of us had to break the limiting belief that the ex-wife, you know, shouldn't be friends with or can't be friends with, you know, her ex-husband, best friends, and best friends with the wife, the new wife, right? So, because how many people do you know are like that, have that? I mean, we vacation together. I mean, we are the weirdest group of people. I go and hang out with Doris's mom and dad in Germany. So, and this is what's possible when you get rid of any concepts and limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs, as Chris and I have traveled the world, are the only thing that gets in the way of anyone living a passionate life. You know, Patrick, all of us had dreams at one time or another. All of us have had a dream. And then, you know, when we were a kid, and then someone came along and said, who do you think you are? You're not smart enough, beautiful enough, you don't know enough, you don't have what it takes, you're not educated enough. And then we bought into it. And now what this whole program that we now share, and part of it includes this process that we're talking about, is to help people reclaim their power.
And what you're saying also ties into something that I teach and believe in very strongly. Actually, two things. The first is you don't need to learn anything new. You need to unlearn everything you've ever been taught, because most of what we were taught are the things you just said. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. That's not for you. Oh, you'll never make it. Or why do you even think that that is for you? Or you're silly, or you're stupid, or there's something wrong with you, or it's your fault. You know, I have a client that has been struggling for years because her mother was a single mother, and she would say to her daughter, it's your fault that I'm suffering. So, of course, this girl grows up into an adult and feels guilty about even being alive, feels guilty for existing. And then that ties into the next thing that I teach, which is what I call the law of deservedness, that you get only what you subconsciously believe you deserve, and you don't get any more, because if you do get more, you'll sabotage it or push it away. So that ties into what you're teaching, which is helping people to get beyond the old limiting belief, whatever that limiting belief is. And it might be, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too short, or I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny, or I don't speak the language, or I'm not smart enough, or something else that even says, hey, I'm not allowed to be more successful than my mother or father. Or my mother and father suffered, so I have to suffer as well. Or my mother and father had to work hard, so am I allowed to live my dream? Am I allowed to live my passion? So do you use the same process that you talked about, the four questions from Byron Katie, to help people smash through the beliefs that they're not good enough or that they don't deserve success?
That's the whole purpose of that process. And we found it to be one of the most powerful ways of investigating the truth of any thought, because that's the only thing that gets in the way of our ability to live our passions, is that we hold beliefs or concepts or ideas that simply aren't true for us, and yet we have grown up with them, just as you said, Patrick, that they've been there from the youngest age. And they've become so embedded in our nature, we've developed mental and emotional patterns based on those beliefs and concepts and ideas that most of us are not even aware of, not even awake to, until we begin to investigate, until we begin to notice. And that's one of the reasons why we say that the whole passion test process is for the purpose of becoming a conscious creator of your life.
Now, what I like about... Sorry, Chris, what I wanted to really say something powerfully. What I like about what you're saying and teaching in the passion test isn't just, oh, well, now you know what your passion is, let's go after it. What you're also helping people to do is to actually enjoy living their passion. And what I mean by that is I work with clients that are singers, models, musicians, actors, and they have a lot of success, but then they're not able to enjoy it because they feel guilty for either their success, or they don't feel they're deserving of their success, or they feel like they're imposters. So you're saying to me that your program actually helps to remove those limiting beliefs as well.
All of the beliefs that we hold, you know, and it's so interesting that you bring this up, Patrick, because even people who appear to have great success looking from the outside in still may have beliefs, concepts, ideas, thoughts that come up that prevent them from being able to truly live a joyful and fulfilled life, which is it's what all of us are here to do, right? That's the whole purpose of it. And the work of Byron Katie, we found, is one of the most powerful tools we've ever experienced for being able to investigate those thoughts, whether it's guilt or self sabotage or whatever they may be, to investigate those thoughts, to unravel them, and that with that comes real freedom. That's the freedom to enjoy life the way it was meant to enjoy.
Now, the freedom to live your passion is obviously the whole key, and the freedom or the ability to enjoy when you're actually living your passion without any sense of guilt or without any sense of self sabotage. In Janet's case, you know, Janet became a teacher, a speaker, a transformational leader, an author, as you have too, or as you both are doing, sometimes people look at the personal development industry, the self-help movement, they say, well, everyone that's doing that, all these people that discover their passion, they're either one of two things. They're either a public speaker or an author. But what about other people? What are the other passions that you've helped people with?
Well, I love that question. And one of my favorite stories from the Passion Test is the story of a 75-year-old man. Now, many people will come to us and also and say, well, I'm too old, you know. I lived my life and I didn't choose in favor of my passions, and now it's too late for me. And so I would say it's absolutely never too late when you to connect your life with the things you love. This man, Otto, had a long-standing desire to teach English in China. He just loved China, and he'd had the opportunity to spend time there, and he had been trying for 2 years to figure out some way to get a job at a university or a school in China to teach English. And he'd been completely unsuccessful. And then after reading the passion test, he went through, he clarified his top passions. He realized how important this was to him. And he also realized that he'd been holding the belief that he was too sick and too old to be able to really do this. That he had diabetes and he somewhere inside of him, while he was trying to make the applications, he was also, as you said, sabotaging himself. And when he realized that and he undid that, when he unraveled that belief, within a week he got an email from a university in China inviting him for an interview. He completed the interview, and a month later he was in China in Guangzhou province, a gorgeous place. This is the valley where when you see many Chinese paintings where they have beautiful mountains covered with mist, those are typically those mountains. And there he was, living his passion at 75 years old.
Now, that's a really powerful story because it's out of the box.
Yeah.
And it
exactly.
doesn't...
And so he wasn't a speaker or an author. How about that, huh?
Not only that, but here is a guy that's 75 that says, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do. And most people would logically... I use the word logic, turn around and say, you are too old, you are too frail, you've got diabetes. And his family's probably saying, oh, no, Dad, we don't want you to do that. You could die if you travel.
Right.
But
right.
He went beyond that. And I'm guessing that he's enjoying what he's doing. I don't know how long ago this story is. And I have a similar story with a client that wasn't even a client at the time. It happened to be just a friend of a friend who met me and said, look, can we have coffee? And we went out and had coffee. And at the time, she was working in multi-level marketing, but she didn't really like it. It obviously wasn't her passion, and somehow I remember asking her this question, you know, what is your passion? And it turned out to be painting. And the interesting thing about her story was the person above her in the MLM company kept putting her down and said, no, no, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you'll never succeed. And her own mother had raised her. Because I said the question, well, who told you can't do this? And her own mother had raised her to say, you'll never make money from it, it's not for you, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever I said in that moment, Chris and Janet, led her to take action to live her passion. And now, and from that moment, she went on to start painting. She did it full time. She was taking commissions. And now she has a published book of her artwork. And again, and she seems she's so extremely happy because of what you talk about. She's connected and living her purpose. And I guess what I really want to ask you now is, what can someone listening right now do to find their passion? Because a lot of people have no idea what their passion is, and then what can they do to make it happen?
Oh, we're so excited that you asked us that question because what we'd love everyone to do that's listening, we're just launching our new program, as you know, Passionate Life Secrets, and they can go right now to www.thepassiontest.com/PT profile, www.thepassiontest.com/PT profile, and they can find out where they're living right now. in terms of, you know, how much they're living their passions. And plus, they're going to get all kinds of free videos with great, super great content. We've been getting, I tell you, Patrick, we're overloaded with emails from people who have gone to these and gone and watched these videos saying thank you so much. They're already on their way to living their passionate life by just watching these free videos that we've sent them, which makes us really excited. So they can go and get all of this wonderful content right now, which I'm so happy to offer, and thank you for asking.
Well, I'll make sure that I'll identify that link along with this audio program, so people will know exactly where to go and they can click on it, etc. Your program, tell me a bit more about the program. Once I've seen these videos, and I have already seen quite a few of the videos, and they really are amazing because they do contain real content, real information. And look, I walked away remembering the following things. Set your intention. Place your attention on what you want to create, what your passion is. No tension, let go, surrender. And I remember the other two things you teach, burn your bridges, let go of the old, make way for the new. Now, I learned them from your videos. I didn't even read anything.
Super.
So I know that there's real content in your videos. Tell me about what I'm going to get if I take the next step and I get your program. And I say, you know what, I'm going to take this passion test. I'm going to go and live my passion.
You're going to get more real content.
All right.
You know, what we've done, Chris and I put together actually everything that we've learned in the last 30 years into this program. I mean, we just like opened all of the doors. We didn't hold back anything. It's every tool, every process, every you know, every thought, every aha that we've had, and it's so friendly, you know, usable. It's just so wonderful because it's very simple. We have people walk step by step through, you know, one door and then into another. How to get rid of your limiting beliefs, and we take you through the work of Byron Katie, and then we share with you nature's guidance system on how you can, you know, enjoy not only being in that expanded happy state that, you know, all of us always love to be in, but also how to take a new look at when you're not feeling expanded and happy, in other words, being contracted, and how that works for you too, and how you can really use this tool to walk through life really gracefully and really, you know, stay on your center at all times. And, you know, so and then we, of course, take them step by step by step through the passion test process. And what the passion test does is it's one exercise after the other that gets people so crystal clear that when they close their eyes, they can actually see the world that they choose to create. And, you know, this is really exciting for us, this whole program, because we've never, ever been able to just take everything, you know, our years of knowledge and put it out like this. So we're as excited as the people we're hearing from, because it's our gift. This is absolutely our gift. And you know, you were talking about, you know, main passions. Well, both Chris and my gift, our passion is to give our gifts to the world. And that's our high. We're just completely out of the box happy this week because of this wonderful opportunity that we've had to share our knowledge with people all over the world.
And I know that in your program you also help people to identify their top five passions and how to ensure that you're living in alignment with those top five passions every day. And for people listening who might suddenly say, you know what, my passion is teaching, and my passion is I want to help other people find their passion, they can actually become certified to teach your program, correct?
Yeah, is that fun? You know, what we tell people
isn't that what Jack Canfield does? Doesn't he also teach your program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack shares our program with his advanced program, which we thought was just about as great of a compliment of a program could be. He came to us and said, would it be okay if I share the passion test with my students? And we said, are you serious? You know, here, what else can we give you? Marcy Shimoff, also from Happy for No Reason, and, you know, sold over 13 million books from the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, is also one of our facilitators Stuart Emery's wife, Joan Emery, Stuart wrote Success Built to Last. She's also a facilitator. They took our program to China and really opened it up in China in the corporate world. So this is a wonderful, wonderful tool. And what we say is, you know, for anyone, it's just not for people who want to go out and stand on a stage or you know, share a program with, you know, some corporations. The Passion Test Certification Program, first and most importantly, is to help people to really own and ground the knowledge of being able to live your passions full out. And the you know, the icing on the cake is that, guess what, if you want to, you can start sharing it with other people as well and monetize your passions. You can, in other words, you can make money by doing it. And I'll tell you, we have the juiciest monetizing program that we've seen out there. That's why our program is doubling this year and, you know, just going so great guns.
What was that expression? The juiciest monetizing program.
Yeah,
I love
and what
that.
We mean by that is that Chris and I looked at this and we thought there are a lot of people that want to go out and make a living sharing with others how to live a passionate life. And you know, if they start and then they don't have any money, then that's no fun, and then they're not so passionate. So what we've done is we've created a way for people to share the Passion Test and our other programs and make great money while they're doing it. And we've heard over and over again how amazing it is for our facilitators, the opportunity that we've opened up for them. And not only that, one of our facilitators, she became a certified Passion Test instructor 2 months afterwards. She was on a stage of 500 people. You know, so this is, all possibilities are open. But number one, again, first and foremost, is we tell people, come and just don't come with any mindset other than the fact that you want to come to certification so that you can own the knowledge of aligning with your own passions. Get the tools to get rid of your limiting beliefs. Get the tool to learn how to be centered in all adversity, and then, you know, decide what else you want to do with it. But first, come and own it. And that's what we have people do. And maybe at the end of the course, a lot of people say, wow, I'm going to go out and teach the world. But they only had a desire just to come and share it, you know, so that they could get rid of whatever it was that was standing in the way of them being able to sing their song. You know, we've all got a great song to sing. And this program is such an incredible program because what it does is it will give you the tools to be able to give your unique, incredibly valuable gifts to the world. And so we invite everyone to take a look at the Passion Test Certification Program. And that, is it okay if I give that URL out?
Yeah, of course. Give it again, and I'm going to make sure that people have it by adding it as well. But please, go ahead and give it.
Okay, www.thepassiontest.com/CERT. So the one for our Passionate Life Secrets program and to take your Passion Test profile is www.thepassiontest.com/PT invite. And so now they've got those two.
So I think everyone...
PT profile. I got that wrong. www.thepassiontest.com. That was an old program. www.thepassiontest.com/PT profile. And that's how everyone can find out how they can take their, you know, where they are right now in living their passions full out.
Well, Janet and Chris, I'm truly grateful, and I say thank you for your graciousness and the amount of wonderful information that you've shared. If nothing else, just the possibility of people going to your program and removing the old emotional blocks that stop them from just being able to enjoy the moment and to enjoy life is worth $1 million, let alone going to the next level and then living your passion, which completely transforms your enjoyment of life and the success that you'll experience in life. So a very big and a very sincere thank you to you, Janet, and to you, Chris.
And thank you to you for, you know, interviewing us. And it's so clear after all of our conversations that you are so completely aligned with, you know, with this knowledge, saying it in a different way, and just sharing your gifts to the world to, you know, to uplift humanity. And thank you for that, and thank you for being you. It's wonderful that we've created this great friendship.
And it's my pleasure. Janet and sorry, Chris, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to thank you as well, Patrick. The work that you do is very important work, obviously clearly aligned with all that we teach about passion. And thank you for giving us the chance to support your subscribers and members as well.
It's my pleasure, and I honor and respect and encourage and endorse your message. So a big thank you to Janet and Chris Atwood, the authors of the New York Times bestseller, The Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. And look along this audio program, because there will be a link in case you've missed, so you can go to their Passion Test.